Worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We'll be having a couple different guests with us today, and we'll be introducing them in just a few moments. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. Beginning at verse 39. Again, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Verses 39 through 45, Luke chapter 1. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that are ours as believers as we follow you all year long. But we thank you for the many special graces and blessings that are ours during the Christmas and Advent season. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to really take time on a daily basis to read and meditate on your word. But thank you for the chance, especially during the Christmas season, to really read and study and think on the wonderful story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, move upon us to make more time this Christmas season to study this story, but move upon us to become much more active and aggressive witnesses for Jesus Christ throughout the Christmas season, and help us to not stop when Christmas is over, but to be aggressive witnesses all our life, telling the world about the wonderful gift of salvation Jesus brought so long ago. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us in studio for this first segment, J.J. Jasper. Now, for lots of our listeners, he doesn't need an introduction. J.J. and I have known each other a long time. Used to work the shift just before him a long, long time ago. But JJ has been on air now, I think, about 25 years.
Yeah,
so as we start off, JJ, we're going to talk about your book, though. But as we start off, would you tell our listeners, just introduce yourself a little bit more, and then we'll talk about the book, too.
Yeah, thank you, Joseph. Well, I really appreciate the title of your program and your heart for prayer. Anything you're not praying about, you're trying to do on your own.
That's
and
right.
Prayer is the difference maker. So what a great opportunity to remind people about the power of prayer and the power that's in God's Word, spending time in His Word, being connected to a Bible-believing church. But, yeah, I was the very first voice on the very first day when AFR went on the air, way back in the summer of 1991.
Quarter of a century ago.
Yeah, that sounds old when you say it like that.
But we're still young fellas, though.
I sold a guy a pickup truck. It had 250,000 miles on it. I said, I'm selling it because it has so many miles, and, I'm getting a little scared of it. He said, "I don't care, I want it, and I'll buy it." Then when he came to get the truck, he sat in there, and he looked at the odometer, and told his wife, "Honey, I just bought a truck with a quarter of a million miles on it." So I guess it's how you word things. Mm-hmm. But, I've been on the radio for 25 years, and it's been a real privilege and honor to be a cheerleader for Jesus. A lot of people struggling, trying to pay bills, trying to sort things out. Things aren't always right at home, at work, at school, at church. And so just to remind people to give the Lord a chance to work in their life. He's faithful. I've got a wonderful wife. I'm the father of 7 children. And I actually do comedy on the weekend. So I get to crisscross the nation. I'll be in North Dakota one weekend, Texas in another weekend. Love to laugh and help people laugh. And so you've written some books along the way as well.
Okay, and of course, you wrote a book several years ago called Moses Was a Basket Case.
Was a basket case, and technically he was. Mm-hmm. Was a basket case, hilarious true stories to encourage and inspire. It became a bestseller. We're thankful and humbled by that. In fact, last year, just about this same time, we said, it's been several years that the book was out and even was reprinted a couple times. So we said, let's reprint it. just to make it available for a stocking stuffer, and we had no idea. Joseph, we had thousands of copies printed this time of last year. It sold out in 6 or 9 days. I can't remember which, but people were disappointed. Oh, man, I wanted a copy. And when we say while supplies last, we really do mean it. Mm-hmm. So this new book, Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, is the sequel to Moses Was a Basket Case, and it literally just came out. It just came out a couple of weeks ago, or less than 2 weeks.
Okay, then. So amongst other things, it would be a great Christmas present and just any other kind of present you want to give to help people laugh a little bit.
People love to laugh. I found that out when the book sold out, and it's biblical. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." All the pressures, all the trials and tribulations and things going on around us, it's just good to laugh. These are true stories. It's a collection of true stories. Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, random true stories to encourage and inspire. There's a title in here, a chapter called Skunkus. I won't even begin to start to tell you about that. There's one, Driving Drowsy, Man's Best Friend, Any Pet Lovers. You're going to love that. Boll Weevil, Hitchhiking, Hurricane Hunter, Camping. We talk about going on camping trips that I don't know if anybody's ever truly been on a successful camping trip. Something always goes wrong. There's a mention of bears in that chapter and putting the tent too close to the creek when the rains came down and the creek rose and was a swollen river there. So
sometimes the creek really does rise.
So. You better believe it. If the Lord willing and the creek don't rise, there's a reason they say that. But yeah, a whole lot of fun chapters, and we just wanted to encourage and inspire people and help them laugh.
Well, if somebody wants to get a copy of Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, how would they do that, JJ?
AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net, JJJasper.com, several places. But when you go to AFAstore.net, you actually help the ministry of American Family Association, American Family Radio, and we're grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. And I think you said one of your daughters did the artwork on the front.
Yeah, you know, I haven't mentioned that. I've been going to be on all the programs today, and my daughter, Sadie, who's only 15 years old, she's a very talented artist. Mm-hmm. If you'll follow me on Facebook, J.J. Jasper Official, J.J. Jasper Official on Facebook, you can see her artwork. And she just, we recognize her talent. She's the most shy person in our family. Mm-hmm. And so her art teacher encouraged her to enter her very first art competition. Seven high schools bringing their best work, and then they did the art department at a college. They were the jury, and my daughter won the number one prize overall.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, we've got a talented artist living in our home. All of our children are so beautiful and talented. But I had her do the cover. We had an artist do the first cover, and I wanted it to look similar since it was a sequel. And I thought, hey, I got an artist that I feed and clothe. I'm just going to ask her and maybe save some money as well.
That's right.
She did a great job.
Give you a discount on the price for artwork.
That's what we were hoping.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And, of course, you showed me that you compared the two covers, and it looks like she might have drawn the first one, too, even though she didn't.
Yeah, no, she didn't. And we're just having so much fun with this. And, you know, it's only been out a couple of weeks, and we're getting great reviews. And some people are saying they actually like it better than the first one. So that always makes you feel good as an author, as a humor writer.
That's good. That's good. JJ, I'm going to ask, would you take a moment now to pray for our listeners for example, obviously a gift like this would be a wonderful Christmas gift. But it's wise for us to be prayerful about the giving of gifts, because gifts can be seeds in the lives of people to point them to Christ, to encourage their faith, to build them up. And that's just a wise thing for believers to do. So would you pray that believers would really pursue wisdom in listening to God about the giving of gifts?
I sure will. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to approach your throne, and we do that boldly.
Jesus.
And just thinking about this season of gift giving, Lord, what came to mind is, for me, is the guilt that people have who don't have the means to buy a gift, and they wish they could do for everybody they know, and they wish they could do for all the children and grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and us people just consumed by guilt at this time of year to get something the nicest and the best, and if they spent this much money on me, I should spend that much money on them. I would pray that you not let them go through this season with guilt. And Lord, help each person listening to remember that that Jesus is the reason for the season and wise men still seek him. So, Lord, would you take away the burden and the guilt for somebody to have the perfect Norman Rockwell kind of Christmas? We just know that there are always glitches and snags, and some people don't make it home for the holidays due to traffic or things, and some people are out of work and they feel depressed about that. So, Lord, would you be with the one right now who's hurting the most? Be with those who are not able to participate with gift giving. And then, as Joseph requested, God, would you speak to a person's heart to get the just right scarf or a pair of shoes or toy or something that would add value to the person's life and a way to just show their appreciation. And maybe someone's writing a letter or making or baking something homemade. And we just pray that you bless the gift and bless the giver during this time. And we thank you that you are a giver. For God so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in you would not perish but have eternal life. So thank you for that example that you've given us. Thank you in the word that you've said it's more blessed to give than receive. So yes, Lord, I just pray that you give everyone wisdom during this time of gift giving. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, JJ. Would mention, too, and ask if you'll just maybe share a thought or two about this. You know, the governor of the state of Mississippi wrote a foreword of sorts for your book, too. Tell us about that.
He endorsed it on the back. Thank you for noticing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we grew up poor. I grew up in Kentucky, lived in Mississippi since 1985. So to have the governor endorse your book, we call that being in high cotton. You know, mm-hmm. you just feel real humbled by that and privileged. But mm-hmm. I get to travel a lot, as I mentioned earlier, and I'll be in Texas one weekend and North Carolina the next. And I notice in all my travels that Mississippi is still just a little bit, people have the wrong connotation. They have the wrong idea about what Mississippi is like. And without really coming out and saying it, mm-hmm. you know, occasionally if you read between the lines, they'll imply that we're at the bottom of all the list. We come in last in all the lists, and maybe mm-hmm. the racial tension that is, you know, that we're known for many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think, wait a minute, I live here. I've lived here for 25 years plus. I've got dual citizenship. I'm mm-hmm. not a native, but I think I've earned the right to brag on the state of Mississippi. I married a Mississippi girl. We lost a child. We've buried, at the time, our only son in Mississippi soil. All of my children but one were born in Mississippi. And mm-hmm. now with all the technology, Joseph, I could live anywhere in America and do my radio show, and mm-hmm. I choose to live in Mississippi. So mm-hmm. years ago, I thought, if I ever get a chance to write another book, I'd like to write a chapter about Mississippi and tell people how wonderful the state is. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the chapters. All the chapters are humorous, but that one is serious. Just to say, here's a little bit of history, here's a real benefit. And so, yeah, the governor gave me a real nice recommendation there on the back of the book.
And I notice he points out his favorite chapter is the one entitled Mississippi, you know, too. So.
Very appropriate for the governor of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are going to, even if you're not from Mississippi, I think you'll appreciate that chapter. And everybody has things about their state that they just hold near and dear. And, you know, mm-hmm. I just, from a Kentucky boy to spend an entire chapter bragging about how the Lord has blessed Mississippi and why it's such a special place to live and work and raise your family, I was really excited to be able to do that.
That's right. And, of course, now your chapter entitled Skunkus, you know, that you alluded to about names, that's a pretty interesting chapters.
Well, they're interesting. We're hearing people are laughing out loud, and it's making them think of stories of their own. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And just the adventures you and your family went through in the naming of your children, there's a lot behind that story, too.
A lot. Yeah, most of the chapters are humorous. There are a couple that are suspenseful, like the time I was flying an airplane and the engine quit and I had to land on the highway. Mm-hmm. I got that in there. I got to fly with the hurricane hunters. Fly through a hurricane, told that story. So, yeah, there's a little something in there for everybody.
People need to get the book. Again, the title, Jonah Had a Whale of a Time by J.J. Jasper. Get the book. Thanks for joining us today, J.J.
Thank you for what you do, Joseph.
The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
I had an opportunity to speak at my church recently, and I spoke from Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. In this scripture, Moses is given instruction from God concerning the children of Israel and what he is to say to Pharaoh. I thought it was interesting that God used Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt straight into a desert experience. When the Lord gave instruction to Moses, he said, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may serve me." Oftentimes when things get hard, we tend to pull away from our relationship with the Lord. Oftentimes when we are in our dry place, we forget that this isn't God's first rodeo. He's gotten us out of or kept us in our dry places before. For the children of Israel, their journey to Canaan was only supposed to be 11 days, but because of their murmuring and complaining, it lasted 40 years. Remember the next time you have your desert experience, how you get in will certainly dictate how you come out. Trust God in the desert place and don't forget to worship. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Tell it over and over those hills and everywhere. Go, go, tell it on the mountain. Say my Jesus. Say that Jesus, tell them Jesus Christ is born. Now go and tell it on the mountain. Well, tell it.
The music of Larnell Harris. Go tell it on the mountain. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. Allow me to mention once again, the title of J.J. Jasper's book is Jonah Had a Whale of a Time. And I want to let you know, too, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, we're giving away one copy. The second person to email me at jparker@afa.net can get the book. Again, the second person that emails me, jparker@afa.net. So you might be thinking, I can't email him too quick because I want to be number two. Well, you just have to try because we don't know how that'll turn out. But just go ahead and email me. There's a second person to email me, jparker@afa.net. We'll get the book, and you can get it to give as a Christmas gift if you like. Jonah Had a Whale of a Time. For this next and final portion of the broadcast, the next two segments, we're grateful to have Priscilla Black. She's the director of the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, Mississippi, a pregnancy clinic there. Priscilla, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you on, and I had the privilege of meeting you when we had a Festival for Life event in Natchez, Mississippi, a few months ago, and it was great to have you to come. You came down and did a booth and participated, but I shared some about the ministry of your pregnancy clinic and pregnancy clinics as a whole on the program, and was really blessed by the passion that you have for the work that you do. So as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, and also tell us about the ministry of the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Sure. So I won't go into a lot of depth on myself, other than to say that I am not a Mississippi native. I actually came from upstate New York. So I think that gives me a really interesting context to do pro-life work here in Mississippi. I'm both just totally floored and grateful by the intense support of our community, mm-hmm. and I'm able to sort of project where women in our area will be in a few years, because New York tends to be more liberal, and I went to a liberal arts college in New York, and most of my friends from growing up would be on the other side of this topic. So, and I'm married. My husband's name is Will. I came to be the executive director of the center here in Vicksburg almost exactly a year ago. So, and I do have a lot of passion. Pastor Parker, do you mind if I just say a little disclaimer here about this topic, because it's so polarizing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, go right ahead.
So I just want to let everybody know, we're going to be talking about abortion, pregnancies, unplanned pregnancies, decisions surrounding that, and the subject of abortion is possibly the most polarizing topic Christians can, or one of them certainly, that Christians can engage in, because it's both politics and religion, and they're both inextricably intertwined with the subject of abortion, and you can't have one without the others. That being said, I want to just make it really clear that both myself, but also like 99.9, if not all, of the people working within the pregnancy resource and pregnancy medical center field nationally and internationally only have love for women that have chosen abortion for whatever reasons. And mm-hmm. even the women who promote abortions, we love them. Mm-hmm. And we're here for them. We love them. God loves them. And while we might fight against you in this topic, we never would fight against you as a person. We're here for you as a person. So I wanted that to be really clear, because I think that that sometimes it gets confusing, you know, pro-choice, pro-life. But I'd like to clarify that pregnancy resource centers and pregnancy medical centers do not exist to counter a woman's ability to choose. We exist because a woman has the ability to choose for herself, her child, and her pregnancy. And that pro-choice isn't the absence of life, and pro-life isn't the absence of choice. And so that all the listeners on with us today would remember that, because I think it's easy to get angry and stop listening. But if you're angry, you don't understand where we're coming from.
Right, right. Well, you know, Priscilla, as you share that, you know, one of the things I would say to kind of go along with what you've just shared is it's so important for us to know that, you know, when a believer, when a person is a believer, is a student of the Word of God, and they allow the Word of God to be the guide by which they live, and when you read and meditate on the Word of God, it helps us to see things clearly and correctly. We live in a world full of deception, and because there's been so deception, especially as it relates to this issue, it really should not be as complicated as people try to say it is. The fact is, God created life, and it's not for people to take life. Yet, sadly, we live in a country that says it's legal to take the life of a baby in the mother's womb right up until the time before, a moment before the baby is born. Yet, sadly, for many people, they think of it as they try to say, well, it's a woman's right. And it's like they ignore the rights of the baby, whether it be a female or a male. And so, sadly, we live in a world full of deception. And so it's helpful for us to know that as we look to the Word of God, we can know what's right, what's wrong, what honors God and what doesn't honor God. And as it relates to the matter of life and women who are carrying babies, that's such a big part of the wonderful work that pregnancy clinics do then. So, but just wanted to add that as you shared.
Yeah,
what you're sharing,
and I'll just add to what you just said. I think that it's really important to know that God is all about our worth, mm-hmm. pregnant or not, and He's all about forgiveness, whether we've had an abortion or not.
That's right.
And I think that as we talk about the Bible as truth, all truth is freeing because of the forgiveness of God and never judgmental or condemning. We can speak truths that we didn't follow our whole lives, but we don't have to be condemned by them or judged by them because Jesus took all of that, and His forgiveness frees us up to be able to talk about them, discuss them, and apply them to our lives.
That's right.
Going forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would mention this too, Priscilla. You know, in just a moment, I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment just to pray for listeners, whatever's on your heart, to pray for them, in that there may be some persons that are considering that possible choice in their lives at this time. But, you know, I think of this as we're in the Christmas season. It's powerful to recognize that, for example, in the book of Luke chapter 1 deals with pregnancy. It appears more than any other chapter that I know of in the whole Bible. Two women that are pregnant at a kind of a difficult or crisis time in their lives. One lady who's basically on Social Security is about to have a baby. The other one's a teenager about to have a baby. Both of them under very kind of unique and difficult circumstances. Yet it's a wonderful story of them fellowshipping with God and with each other. And it's a wonderful story about life and the unique challenges that a mother carrying a baby express. And so during Christmas time, it's a wonderful time for us to focus on the whole topics of pregnancy, motherhood, and related issues too. So again, having you to come on during the Christmas season is especially appropriate as it relates to the story of Christmas too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, tell us more about specifically the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg. Again, now did you say you're originally from New York City?
No, I'm from upstate New York, near
upstate.
The Capitol.
Okay,
Albany.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit of culture shock coming from New York, coming all the way down to Natchez, Mississippi. Just a little bit, right?
Well, a little bit, sure. I've been living in Mississippi for the last 4 years, almost mm-hmm. five, and me and my husband met here in Mississippi, and so we've been here for a little while now. So the culture shock has... Well, every time I think that I'm over it, more comes, I guess.
Okay. Okay, and so what would you say are some of the unique challenges you've run into as you've provided leadership for the pregnancy clinic there I said Natchez, I meant Vicksburg, of course. But
okay.
As you're there in the city of Vicksburg, what are some of the unique challenges that you've run into as you've provided leadership for that ministry there?
So just like the world around us is changing every day, you know, the technology of 2000 isn't the same as the technology in 2016. The general needs of women in pregnancy are very different today than they were last year or 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Pregnancy resource centers they became into existence. Most of them came into existence right around the decision-making of Roe versus Wade, which is the main Supreme Court ruling that a particular woman had the constitutional right to terminate a pregnancy or a life under our United States law. So that's what that ruling said. Now, something that's really interesting about that is that there wasn't the technology back then to prove that the life inside of her was living. And even more interesting is that the woman who was pregnant during that trial ended up caring to term and is pro-life and against abortion throughout the country. So that's really cool. But what you were asking about pregnancy resource centers is, as God's people realized that women and families around them were viewing their pregnancies as within their ability to terminate and choosing to do so, they realized that they had a similar responsibility to defend the innocent. And because God values life, they came to the conclusion that they needed to do something to help these women and seek to do whatever they can to save the women and children from this fate, so the fate being abortion or termination. And that's what we do here in Vicksburg. And one of the biggest things that we struggle with is how to reach the next woman. So just like each person is different, each pregnancy is different, each person's needs are different, and there is no way that we could be prepared to serve every single person exactly where they're at. So we have to say, okay, where do all these needs overlap in a way that we can serve them? And that used to be pregnancy tests. So women wouldn't really know if they were pregnant or not. And so the ability to come into a clinic and get a free pregnancy test was a blessing for them. Okay. Nowadays, you can go to the drugstore and pick up a pregnancy test for between $1 and $14. And so most of the clients we see have already know from their home test if they're pregnant or not. And what we offer them is the ability to talk through these choices in an environment that allows them to work through. So both educating them on what their choices are, what does abortion really mean, what are the procedures really like, is this a good choice or not? Because that's basically what they're trying to decide. And so I'm sure at some point you will ask me, what is the mission of our Pregnancy Resource Center, or the Center for Pregnancy Choices here in Vicksburg? And our mission ties into this really well, because our mission, you know, our mission statement is to end abortion in Warren County. But I'd like to caveat that with, it's not to end abortion in Warren County, not necessarily because no one considers abortion, but rather because the support in our community is so all-encompassing that women no longer feel like abortion is their best choice, and therefore they choose life.
Okay. Priscilla, let me share with you a question that someone sent us in the chat room. I'm going to ask you just to respond to it as best you can. And the question is, how does the state of Mississippi as a whole feel about pro-life issues? And you may or may not feel like you can answer that, but would you want to try?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So the state of Mississippi really gives us an enormous leg up to other we're very fortunate to operate within a state that has very pro-life legislation. So let me just bring some of our listeners up to speed on kind of what is nationally a standard and then what Mississippi looks like.
Priscilla, I'm going to need to jump in. We're coming up on a break. I want you to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Priscilla Black, the director of the Pregnancy Clinic, Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
Nothing is wasted.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord has a plan that will make use of everything you've gone through in life.
God can turn your yesterdays into better tomorrows.
A look at how you can be sure that God is up to something great in your life. Plus more of Tony Evans' most popular messages of the last year. This week on The Alternative.
Family is an institution set forth by God. One man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Some people put off coming to Christ until they feel like they have their lives in order. But Dr. Tony Evans says that's the exact opposite of how it works. He'll explain with the help of this illustration as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I was talking to a couple who was engaged. They wanted to get married, but there was a problem. The wife had accumulated over the years huge debt, and they just didn't see getting married with this debt. So I turned to the husband, I said, we can resolve this fairly easily. He said, how? I said, if you simply turn to her and tell her it's no longer her debt, you'll take it. I said, do you love her? Do you want to marry her? He said, absolutely. Then let her know that is no longer her burden. Let her know that's yours. After thinking about it for a few hours, he said to her, I want to marry you. I will take that burden and own it. Tears began to run down her eyes as she felt the weight fall off of her. She had a load, but she had a love. And when the love was willing to take the load, she had rest. Jesus says, come to me. You got a load, and I got plenty of love. If you turn it over to me, we still got the bills, but I'm going to bear the load and you don't have to lift the weight. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest is a gift.
Discover how you can experience God's comfort even when you're uncomfortable. Check with us for details on Dr. Evans' series, Comforting the Afflicted, when you visit us online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
When
music of Mandisa, the song Oh Holy Night. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Priscilla Black, the director of the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Priscilla, Vicksburg is where my oldest son was born a long, long, long time ago. So Vicksburg has a special place in my heart, too. And I would mention this specifically. I'm going to ask as we start this last segment, if you would take time to pray for our listeners. There may be some persons that are listening today. It might be in a struggle right now. You know, it's something to think that, you know, I alluded to the fact that both Mary and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 both found themselves pregnant at somewhat of a unique and challenging time in their lives. And the fact is, many women both, so obviously when they're not married or even when they are married, many times pregnancy ends up being a challenge and brings sometimes difficulties in their lives. And so there might be some listening that might be at that point and place in their lives. Would you pray for them, whatever's on your heart, to lift them up in prayer about?
I would love to.
Okay.
All right. Dear Lord, we just come before you today, and we are so thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. That we get to lean on you, that we don't have to stumble through this life according to what we think is best, but we get to lean on you, that you've given us a whole book of wisdom, that you've given us the ways to live, and you give us direction as we pray. So, Lord, I would just lift up each and every listener.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it's likely that each listener can have an effect in this ministry,
yes,
can
Lord,
have an effect on somebody's life, and maybe it's their own life. Maybe just continuing to tune in
you,
will
Lord,
be what they can do for life today. But, Lord,
thank you, Lord Jesus,
I pray that
Lord.
You would speak peace into the women's hearts that are struggling with an unplanned pregnancy and perhaps the embarrassment that she feels like she's struggling. Sometimes the way we're feeling doesn't coincide with the way we want to feel. And Lord, I just pray that you would put somebody in her life that would be able to speak truth into her life in a way that she could hear it straight from your voice, Lord, or that she would get on her knees and seek you and hear from you. Lord, we know that you are faithful to your children. So we just thank you today for your faithfulness to these women in our communities. Lord, I just pray for any woman who, or any man, any person that's listening and has been a part of an abortion, whether they received one themselves or they encouraged one, that you would help them in that to find peace and forgiveness in you, as we know that your peace and your forgiveness surpasses all understanding. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Priscilla, if someone wants to learn more about the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, or maybe someone wants to give financially or become a prayer partner or maybe come volunteer, how would they get in touch with you?
So there's a few ways to do that. First, I'll give our phone number, 601-638-2778. But also, if you Google Center for Pregnancy Choices Vicksburg, and putting in the town is really important because there's Center for Pregnancy Choices all over the nation, you will find our client website. And so if you are struggling with a crisis pregnancy or an unplanned pregnancy, or you want to know about your options or you need option counseling, that is how I would encourage you to find us. If you are looking for a chance to become a donor, volunteer, any of that, we have a website for our donors, and it's CPC, C as in center, P as in pregnancy, C as in choices, cpcvicksburg.org. And so that is where I would send.
Okay.
The phone number is 601-638-2778. That's 601-638-2778. And that's the number for both clients or donors. You can call that and just let us know what you need when you call.
Amen.
And so, and so I wanted to pick back up where we were before the break just really quickly with Mississippi. And I have to say that all of us who our championing life are blessed to live in Mississippi. So nationally, we not only have decided as a nation that abortion is a woman's choice, we've cut men really out of the decision-making process, except for in politics, And we are federally funding clinics that provide abortion procedures. Maybe not that function particularly, but we're federally funding places that obviously aren't in line with what individuals' personal convictions are. So that's where we are nationally. But Mississippi is very different. And I want to say this. Laws that states make, like Mississippi, are never to keep women from having abortions. They are always to restrict doctors from performing abortions. Never in the history of our nation has a woman ever been criminally tried for having an abortion. Rather, doctors can be in violation. So the laws are always against having abortions performed, never the woman receiving one. So I want that to be clear. And then Mississippi does things to keep the woman safe. So nationally, we have to fall under what our nation has decided that's constitutionally her choice. Mm-hmm. But we believe that abortion is unsafe for the woman and, of course, for the child. So what we try to do is we try to regulate safety for the woman. And so that's doctors' admitting rights, hospital regulations for hall width and cleanliness and all this stuff, just to make sure that if she does choose abortion, her physical health isn't in danger. Well, what this does is it limits the amount of people willing to get into the abortion industry because it's much more of a medical procedure. And so Mississippi is extremely blessed to have only one abortion clinic. And so that's kind of where we are. How does the state of Mississippi feel? I would say, really, you just need to pull up a map.
Right.
If they voted blue in the last election, they probably are not pro-life. But if they voted red, then you can see we have a lot of legislators, Republican legislators, who do big things for life in Mississippi. So hopefully I didn't take too much time with that, but I think it's an important thing to be thankful for.
Right, right. I have another question. I want to go ahead and share that one, too, in the chat room. This question says, what's the best way to go about volunteering at a crisis pregnancy center?
Oh, man. So this is a really interesting question. I'm going to give you the snapshot. But first and foremost, call your center, period.
Just call the local center.
If you are willing to volunteer, call. Because I may not give the answer that your pregnancy resource center needs. So for us, my philosophy with volunteers is I want any person who wants to volunteer in some capacity. And if they have a really specific area where they're willing to volunteer, I want to use them in that. If they're willing to branch out into what we personally need, I want to help them in that. But I would never turn away a volunteer because there is so much to be done and truly not enough harvesters. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And so if you are willing to volunteer, please call your local pregnancy resource center or call us. If you want to volunteer in Vicksburg.
So if they happen to live in Vicksburg or if they happen to live in California, you want to come volunteer for you, you'll take them wherever they come from, right?
Well, but to somebody in California, what I would say is research where your local pregnancy resource center is.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have to do quite a bit of research. They are sometimes hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to churches, talk to your friends, talk to anybody you know that has affiliation with pro-life. Talk to the Catholic Church in your town. Figure out where your local pregnancy resource center is because most of the time that is where you can have the greatest effect in your community.
Okay. Priscilla, let me ask you to comment on this too, if you would. You know, again, alluding to the fact that pregnancy clinics reach out to women in a very unique and very needed way, I think of this going back to the Christmas story. You know, Elizabeth, after she found herself pregnant at being the age of your average grandmother, but found herself pregnant, she went into hiding immediately after that. And Mary, of course, it appeared for a time that her marriage was in jeopardy because of the pregnancy under the unique circumstances. And that brings up just the whole reality. There's so many unique challenges that come to play when a woman's pregnant at a difficult time in her life. Would you comment on that further?
Sure. So I would comment with just a simple statement. There are so many people telling women to get abortions for so many reasons that they truly feel that it's their only option. And so we as a community dedicated to life need to be the opposite. So rather than telling a woman who's pregnant out of wedlock, well, you really shouldn't have been having sex out of wedlock, she knows that. Rather say, how can I help you? Congratulations, you're going to be a great mom. It's being the opposite of what our worldly inclination is to be, or even our religious self is to be. It's being Christ in these situations to these women. I mean, imagine, we don't know her circumstances, and we don't know how she's pregnant. You don't know if she was assaulted. And so if you chastise her for being pregnant, you may be chastising somebody like Mary in the Bible. You know, our Lord and Savior's mother, you might be that person saying, well, Mary, you know, you're real shame on this town for getting pregnant out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
not your place. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, each circumstance is individual. You may know all the facts, and you may know that she shouldn't be pregnant, and but she is. And the battle that we're now fighting is choose life. If you're negative about her pregnancy, about the sex she was having, about all her choices, then she's going to feel the need to do what Elizabeth did and hide. And the best way to hide your pregnancy in 2016 is to get an abortion.
That's something. Well, you know, our time is just about gone. You know, when I think of this, you alluded to this earlier, though, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize that often men are the engines behind many abortions. Often you have a girlfriend or a wife that's pregnant and thought he'd be happy, and he may decide, I don't want to be a dad. And many times they're trying to force it, but many people don't realize that's against the law. So as we draw our time to conclusion, would you share one more time the website? If someone wants to get in touch with you, would you share your website and phone number one more time?
Sure. So our donor website, or anybody who wants to support us, who's not experiencing a crisis or an unplanned pregnancy right now, it's going to be CPC, C as in cat, P as in Paul, C as in cat, Vicksburg.org. If you are, go to pregnancy or VicksburgPregnancy.com. So those are the two different websites. And if you want to call 601-638-2778. Now, Pastor Parker, do we have enough time for me to just talk about how prayer fits into all of this?
Well, I tell you can close in prayer. Our time is just about gone. If you like, if you would just share a closing prayer, and I'll need to have you come back so we can talk about that a little bit more, though. But would you close us in a word
of
prayer?
Sure. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for my time here. I pray that anyone listening would feel the freedom to call that number and talk to me. Anybody who has a question, anyone who is struggling, anyone who doesn't understand why they should choose life instead of abortion, when abortion really seems like the best choice right now. Lord, I just pray that each of us here, each of us within the pro-life community would really have the wisdom to follow your direction, which is not always what we think it's going to be.
You've been listening to Priscilla Black, the director of the Pregnancy Clinic in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.